Democratic State Representative Andy Shore of Lansing is exactly 4 weeks into his first term representing the 68th District. That's 4 weeks to the day. It is the 68th, right?
It is.
It is so easy to confuse all of the districts. Okay, so we're off to a good start here. I got the district right. 4 weeks to the day, Andy was sworn in. Current state's gradually making its way through the list of Lansing area state reps and senators, and it's a pleasure to welcome Andy Shore to Current State. How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we thank you for coming by. I feel like I'd be remiss in my duties if we didn't address the state chairman situation. Your party is considering a new state chairman. Do you support a change?
You know, I support exploring a change. I think it's always good for the democratic process, good for the party to have people who are willing to step up and take the mantle of leadership. We've got a leader who's been there for 18 years in Mark Brewer, who's done some things good and some things bad. And, you know, there's always going to be, you know, positives and negatives over 18 years. We've got a gentleman named Lon Johnson, who ran for the House, who was a fantastic candidate in a marginal seat, who's interested in taking the mantle of leadership. I think it's great that we're going to have this discussion. I think it's healthy for the party.
If you had to vote today, would you be inclined to vote for Mr. Johnson or retain Mark Brewer?
Luckily, we don't have to vote today. I have not had a chance to meet Mr. Johnson, and I'm going to take the time that I have to make that decision. You know, honestly, I'm spending more time trying to get my office ready and work on the legislative stuff, but I do have some time, and I'll take some time to make that decision.
A reporter's biggest weapon is the word if.
If.
You know, if you could change one thing, what would it be? That's when you know you're having a conversation with a reporter.
That's true.
You're certainly aware of the case against Mark Brewer.
Sure.
You know, not enough Democrats elected in the state, doesn't enjoy the support of the UAW. Senator Levin and Senator Stabenow want to see a change. How much of this resonates with you?
Well, it's all very important. You know, yesterday alone, I got an email from the entire congressional delegation on why we need a change. I also got an email from Mr. Brewer on why we need to continue his leadership and all of his support. So it's all important. Although, you know, for me, I need to be able to judge for myself what's the best for the future of the party, and that will be, you know, my vote. I'm only one of many votes at the Democratic Convention. It's important to hear what our Democratic congressional leaders and party chairs and others believe, but I'll probably make that decision for myself based on the past and based on what I see as the future.
Are you willing to say whether Prop 2 was a bad idea, good idea? Are you glad that was on the ballot?
I think that it was necessary to be on the ballot because the unions have been attacked by the Republican majority and the governor over the last 2 years. I think that the unions felt that they needed to put something to the people, and I think that, you know, for them this was a very important issue and was necessary, and I think it was necessary for the voters of the state of Michigan to have a chance to decide on something. You know, the Republicans ran Right to Work. They ran more bills over the last 2 years than I've seen in my 15 years here attacking working people. So the unions needed to get something out in front of the people. So I think that I honored their decision that this is how they wanted to do it. You know, it wasn't successful, but it got a really good conversation out there, and I have no complaints or no criticisms.
Your first impressions of working at the Capitol in this capacity? I know you've spent a bunch of years at the Capitol as an aide, but yep. now you got the big office. What's it like?
You know, it's great. It's great. I'm really enjoying it. You're right. I spent 7 years as a legislative staffer. I spent 5 or 6 years as an advocate on behalf of cities, all at the Capitol. I think that experience has gotten me a leg up to really, as I promised in the campaign, hit the ground running. And I have. You know, we've got bills introduced. I'm working on a whole variety of legislation. We're already helping out constituents and resolving situations. It's definitely different being, you know, the one to press the button as opposed to the aide advising a senator or a representative, but I'm really enjoying it. I've been itching to get going since the election, and now that we're starting, it's flying by. The days are flying by; they're packed, and I want to try and get as much done as I can in my 2-year term.
It won't surprise anyone if the governor proposes expanding Medicaid tomorrow night in his budget message. We're devoting a segment to it here tomorrow on Current State. I assume you support that.
I do.
Can you explain why?
Well, as a county commissioner, you know, I saw a lot of this firsthand. I was the human services chair. I think that right now we've got too many people going to hospital ERs, which are costing a lot of money that the taxpayers pay for. You know, healthcare goes up. Accepting the expanded Medicaid dollars will be 400,000 to 600,000 new people covered under Medicaid. It's something that we should do in order to prevent our hospitals from having to pay more, that can help bring our healthcare down. The argument that you'll hear against it from Republicans mostly at this point, some Republicans, not all, is that there'll be a cost in 3 years because it goes from 100% federal pay to 90%.
Indeed, yeah.
The reality is, we are spending so much more. It's something in the realm of $300 million per year in hospitals paying for uncompensated care. Well, we're paying for that. That's coming back on our health insurance. The reality is, if we have to pay $30 million in 3 years, that is nothing like the $300 million that taxpayers are in essence having to eat because of the uncompensated care. I think we should accept it. There are at least 5 Republican governors nationwide that have accepted it. I put in a resolution about 2 or 3 weeks ago calling on the governor to accept it, and I get a whole series of co-sponsors. Hasn't been taken up in committee yet, and I guess we'll find out tomorrow. But I think we should accept it. I think it's our responsibility to accept it.
It's likely we'll learn more about the governor's road funding framework as well tomorrow night. So far, we know he favors some combination of a wholesale gas tax and hikes in vehicle registration fees. How do you feel about it?
Well, that was what he put out last year, and the Republicans in the Senate seem to have a variety of other ideas. I think that we need to do something with the roads. I think that how we get to 56 votes in the House and 20 votes in the Senate, there'll be a lot of discussion and debate over the next, you know, few months. I think that I'm open to a variety of proposals, but I also need to know that this is a bipartisan effort, that it's not just Democrats being expected to do this, you know, for the governor and, you know, a few Republicans joining in. I think that needs to be something that we all have a piece in, that we can all talk to our constituents about. I think that over the last 2 years, the middle class has taken a lot in terms of new tax burdens. There have been tax increases with the elimination of the child care credit, with the new senior pension tax.
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up, because MERS News reported here just in the last day or two, there is some talk in the legislature about linking the governor's transportation revenue package to restoring the earned income tax credit. Can you confirm that that's being discussed?
I've heard the rumors myself. But I'm not part of the discussions. You know, I have not heard from the governor or any Republican leader that's on the table, but I've heard that is on the table. We do need to provide some relief to the middle class if we're going to ask them to fund the roads. You know, there are a lot of options. There are options where you cannot have a middle class tax increase, where you can, you know, there are a whole variety of options you can explore, as user fees, as truckers come in from out of state and use our roads. I think we need to have those who are beating up the roads pay for it without trying to burden the middle class, especially because they've taken such a new burden from the last 2 years. And I think people are going to realize that as April 15th comes.
But tying the transportation funding to the earned income tax credit seemed like a plausible bargain. The governor needs Democrats on road funding, and you would like to see the earned income tax credit bumped back up, correct?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. But there are a variety of times. I mean, I wouldn't mind
seeing
the child care credit go back where it was. There are a variety of things that I think we should do, and it all could be tied to a discussion to transportation and road funding.
Now, the governor has also favored giving counties the authority to levy their own fees for their own roads. Do you like it? You're a former county commissioner. Do you like that idea for Ingham County?
Yeah, I do. I think that as a local option, it makes sense. I need to explore that more. I don't know that it should be a one county solution. I think that it could be a region solution. You know, if Ingham County increases the local sales tax, do we put ourselves at a competitive disadvantage to our border counties? Mm. You know, there we could look at a tri-county solution: Ingham, Eaton, and Clinton. That way you don't have Lansing losing out on businesses to Delta Township or to, you know, DeWitt Township. So I think it could be a regional solution, and there have been proposals like that in the past for arts and other things. So I support exploring something. I don't want to see it fail because, you know, one county doesn't want to do it and then put themselves at a competitive disadvantage to another county.
There are middle and working class people who are already fairly pinched, though, who could arguably use a break from higher taxes and fees. So
true.
That factors into your calculus as well.
That always factors
in.
I mean, people never want to pay more taxes and more fees, but because they've taken a new burden over the last 2 years, it is something to factor in. You know, you also have to remember that when you have roads with potholes and the snow isn't clear, you tend to break things more. You tend to break windshields and things. And there is a number out there, I don't have it on me, on what people are paying their mechanics and paying for the roads. So part of it is saying, we're going to fix the roads so that you're not fixing your broken car.
Right.
So there's a piece of that too. But I do very seriously take into account the last 2 years of the increases for the middle class.
We're talking with State Rep Andy Shore here on Current State on WKAR. Is there a Democrat you'd like to see run for governor next year?
You know, I'm curious to see who's got the drive and who's got the desire. Senator Whitmer would have been a great candidate and a great governor, and she is not running for laudable reasons, family reasons. I've got two little kids, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, so I can completely understand, and I think that's great that she took that into account first. There are lots of great candidates that I'm hearing. I'd like to see who actually comes out of the woodwork and says, yes, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to put my life on hold to run for governor and raise the money and really get the Democratic message out. So I'm sure I could name a few people who I'd love to see, but I want to see who wants to put themselves forward first and then make that decision.
Mark Schauer.
I think Mark would be great.
Yeah, okay.
I think Mark would be great. I think Gary Peters would be great. I think, you know, there's a lot of names that are batted around, but I want to see who puts their name out there and who's got that desire and the drive.
Your party's convention is the 23rd of this month. It's coming right up. Do you expect some kind of breakthrough there or any kind of consensus even to start to take shape at the convention?
For governor?
Yeah.
I would hope so. I would hope that anybody who is interested will start to have that conversation at our different caucuses, at our different congressional district meetings, and start showing a presence. I don't think that anybody really needs to make the announcement until, you know, March or April. I think that gives them enough time to start doing the fundraising, to start gathering the support. You know, the election is not for another year and three quarters. But it would be nice for someone to start at least circulating an interest there at the convention to test the waters and see if they can gain the support.
Which Democrat would you most like to see run to replace Senator Whitmer in the 23rd?
Oh, Lord. You know,
you can include yourself if you want.
I'm not running. I'm not a good politician here because I'm supposed to say, I'm going to consider it, Mark. It's something I'm considering. But no, I'm not running. I want to serve my constituents for these 2 to 4 to 6 years. My wife would kill me if I started a campaign, in essence, a month from now.
Enough said.
That's right. So I'm not running. I don't know. I think it's early yet. I've heard a few names. You know, Joan Bauer has clearly said that in the past that she may consider it. And, you know, I've heard a lot of names batted around. You always hear Barb Byram or Mark Meadows. And Barb, I think, is happy being a county clerk. She's doing a great job. And, you know, so I don't know. I want to see, again, I'm 4 weeks into the job, as you pointed out. It's 4 weeks to the day. And already I'm talking about 2014. I want to do the job, and I want to focus on, you know, who's running for Senate and governor and party chair later.
Noted. What do you think the odds are of Senator Whitmer running for another, she's been batted around as Supreme Court and Attorney General?
You know, I think she'd be great for any of those jobs. But again, it's she's got to decide what can she do, how can she balance her family life with the needs of the state. And her desire to be in either of those jobs. I think she'd be great in either of those jobs. You know, she knows the Attorney General's office very well, and she'd be great in that scenario, and she needs to decide, can she take that, you know, 4 to 6 months and do that kind of a campaign?
Sure.
Same thing with the Supreme Court. You know, we could use some judges on the Supreme Court who have different philosophies than those who are there now.
Okay.
And I think she'd be great for either.
Okay. State Rep Andy Shore, we appreciate you joining us on Current State.
I look forward to coming back.
Break a leg.